this morning. If you want to prepare for reading in a few minutes, we'll be in the book of Nehemiah. We'll be a lot of places this morning, but as a launch text, we'll be in Nehemiah chapter 8, starting at verse number 9. Nehemiah chapter 8, starting at verse number 9. There was someone who was passing out a yellow card, square card, something like this. If you did not get one of those, you're going to need one, hopefully, if you want to participate in something that we'll do a little bit later on. You need something to write with, obviously, and one of these yellow cards. If you don't have one, just raise your hand right now, and Tracy, I think, has some, and he'll bring them to you. The purpose of this is if you don't like what I'm doing, make it into an airplane and just shoot it at my head. Nope, don't do that. We'll need that for something. We're creating something visually that hopefully at the completion of this series we'll be able to see something really cool. We started a new series last week. We started it right on the heels of learning the condition of baby Beckham. And so I did a very brief introduction. We are considering this series called Inside Out. We're basing it on a Pixar Disney film that came out last year sometime. That was a really interesting film. It's a film, it's a cartoon, it's an animated film. That mixes science and animation, some truth, some psychology. There's a lot of things that goes into this film. As such, it's had a profound impact on a lot of people, including communities of faith. In fact, as I just peruse the internet and looking for ideas for this sermon, this is a widely used series because it connects so well to who we are. At the heart of what we're doing is we're talking about emotions. We're talking about emotional health. We have been created as emotional and intellectual beings. We're not just flesh and blood. We have a mind. We have a heart. We have feelings. Now, depending on where you grew up, in a context where you grew up, you may have been encouraged to kind of put this idea of feelings to the side. You know, look, a lot of men, we're kind of encouraged that to be a manly man, you put your feelings aside. Grown men don't cry. Grown men don't experience fear. Men are brave and courageous at all junctures. Now, we all know that's just not true. I don't know how old you are or how manly you are. Come in this building at 2 o'clock in the morning, as I have, and in the pitch dark, and hear some noise. I would love to see y'all manly men take it like a man, because there's been times where I've come here at 2 o'clock in the morning to get some work done or to get a file or to get a book, and I heard a noise, and that book stayed here. That work stayed here, and I went home and waited for you all to show up that next morning. So that's what we're doing. This story, if you haven't watched the film, I encourage you last week to go home, get some popcorn and watch this film, this animated film. It's close to two hours long. At the heart of it is a little girl by the name of Riley. She's 11, 12-year-old girl. Her family, they're moving from Minnesota, Minnesotans. They're moving to San Francisco. And we get a peek inside of her mind as she deals with this move. And so we see the emotions, sadness and anger and fear and disgust and joy. So let me read Nehemiah chapter 8, starting at verse number 9, just as a way to launch our journey this morning. Nehemiah chapter 8. Starting at verse number 9, it says, "Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and the teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, 'This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. People saying, be still, for this is a holy day. Do not grieve. Then all the people went away to eat and drink, to send portions of food and to celebrate with great joy, because they now understood the words that had been made known to them. Interesting how the initial reaction to the reading of the law, which took place at this moment, created a culture of sadness and mourning. Yet it ended with celebrating and joy. I mean, what makes you feel joy? Just think about that for a moment. I'm sure some things are coming into your mind right now. I mean, first thing that's coming into my mind right now is bacon. Yeah, bacon. Bacon just makes me feel joy. It makes us all feel well, that is, and of course, unless you're a vegan. I mean, if you're vegan, tofu or falafel, you know, that makes you feel joy. Married guys, do you remember when you proposed to your wife? Do you remember how you felt? Not the nauseous part, but the part after she said yes. Joy. How many of you remember the feeling after you came up out of that water at your baptism? I remember as a 12-year-old coming up, I had the biggest smile on my face and I couldn't get rid of it for the rest of the day. Joy. I remember growing up, one of my mentors, Dr. Lawrence James, is his first name. When I first met him, he was a new member to our church, a real tall, slinky guy, glasses. He was a medical student. He looked exactly like a medical student would look. And I remember there was just something about him. I really never asked him or probed why he was this way, but I remember sometimes, you know, the guys who would participate in the service would stand up in the front, and if they were up there singing a song, you know, some of the guys, you know, had the stand in front look, which is kind of like this, you know, y'all know about that look, you know, and they would sing, but they wouldn't, you know enact any emotion, just kind of, you know, but not James Lawrence. Like, He just smiled. He grinned. He stared in the air. He would often lift his hand. He wouldn't go all the way up because people would say he was weird then. But he would do this, and he would just smile. He was just so full of joy. Now I know him personally, and I know that he's experienced some heartache and some pain and some struggle. But still, what came out, and it wasn't fake. It was genuine. It was joy. Mothers, do you remember that feeling when you held your firstborn? With all the challenges, you know, facing Justin and Joy Kuhn, nothing could reduce the sheer joy of holding a newborn child. We happened to be in a room when they took baby Beckham out of the crib, and Justin and Joy got to experience this, and to just sit in the background and not necessarily hear any talking, but just to see and experience, which is kind of cool, a woman named Joy experiencing joy. In the movie Inside Out, Joy is cast as the emotion who is in charge. It would seem that at the end of the day, The goal was for joy to have the reins of the mind. And why not? I mean, joy is fun. Joy is exciting. Joy is crazy and full of laughter. Joy is where the party. She is the life of the party. Who wants to have a party with no joy? Can you imagine a party where everyone was just angry and disgusted? You know, just scowls on their faces. That's not a party. At a party, you want smiling and laughing and celebration. Now here is a clip. And just a reminder of who Joy is. Again, if you've seen the movie, this might be familiar to you. If you haven't, here's a clip of Joy.
Just Riley and me, forever. For 33 seconds.
I'm sadness.
Oh, hello. I'm Joy. So, can I just... If you could... I just want to fix that. Thanks.
I'll fix that. This is probably a setup of what it's like to be in the mind where joy is introduced to sadness, but immediately she recognizes that she's going to be in the business of fixing things. Joy is in charge. It becomes apparent when you watch the film that Joy sees her role as the protector of what are called core memories, which in turn fuels Riley's personality. She speaking of Joy, gives the orders, and she is insisting on keeping the reins of the control center of the brain. So take, for instance, another clip, which shows a view inside the mind on the first day of school.
Is hugging. Okay, first day of school, very, very exciting. I was up late last night figuring out a new plan. Here it is, fear. I need a list of all the possible negative outcomes on the first day at a new school.
Way ahead of you there. Does anyone know how to spell meteor?
Disgust. Make sure Riley stands out today, but also blends in.
When I'm through, Riley will look so good, the other kids will look at their own outfits and barf.
Joy.
Yes, Joy?
You'll be in charge of the console, keeping Riley happy all day long. And may I add, I love your dress, it's adorable. Oh, this whole thing? Thank you so much. I love the way it twirls. Train of thought, right on schedule. Anger. Unload the daydreams. I ordered extra in case things get slow in class.
Might come in handy if this new school is full of boring, useless classes, which it probably will be.
Oh, sadness. I have a super important job just for you.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Follow me.
What are you doing?
And there. Perfect. This is the circle of sadness.
Your job is to make sure that all the sadness stays inside of it.
So, you want me to just stand here?
Hey, it's not my place to tell you how to do your job. Just make sure that all the sadness stays in the circle. See? You're a pro at this. Isn't this fun?
No.
Attagirl.
Now, just for the record, the producers of this film did not consult with Kim Johnson to come up with the character of Joy. As I watched this film, a lot of similarities. Just saying, just saying, but just a coincidence. Just a coincidence. Look, Joy feels good, okay? Joy feels good. We would be hard-pressed to come up with reasons that joy is a bad thing, right? I mean, joy isn't bad. In the text we read this morning, the people of God were on their comeback. They had been enslaved for years, but now, having rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem and rebuilt the temple, albeit it wasn't a temple that looked like the first temple, which was one of the reasons why they were sad, but this was an occasion to be celebrated. The people expressed exuberant joy upon Nehemiah, encouraging them to display their joy in the Lord. The joy of the Lord is their strength. They even ascribe the source of their strength. You know, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Having a foundation in God provokes a feeling of joy. We read about this all throughout the Psalms and all throughout Scripture even. But here's a sample, Psalm 5:11. But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. The Lord is my strength, Psalm 28 and verse 7, and my shield. My heart trusts in him and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy, and with my song I praise him. In Psalm 47 and 1, clap your hands, all you nations, shout to God with cries of joy. The character of joy seemingly takes her cue from that which has been embodied by the people of God for centuries. We are a joyful people, prompted by the stimulus of God's activity, his love, his grace, his presence, his providence for us. Why then does joy tend to be the feeling that wants to dominate? Well, as the character profile suggests, joy wants to protect and guard against feelings that are deemed troublesome or destructive. In the film, you see Joy in charge of the control panel. She gives the orders. She gets frustrated with others when things aren't going well. But before we criticize joy, we should understand that the presence of joy flows from an understanding that connection to the Lord may indeed, it will incite that feeling no matter the disposition or the circumstance. Paul, writing to the Philippian church while he was in prison, he writes to the Philippian church, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice." Consider it pure joy, our brother James writes. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. It's not that we don't experience stuff. It's not that we don't experience trials or setbacks or disappointments. But both these writers, Paul and our brother James, says to be joyous, to have joy in all these circumstances. Why is joy important? It's important simply, it's a gift from God. God wants us to experience joy. Now, I didn't say happiness. Now we can talk about the difference between joy and happiness. Happiness tends to be that which is stimulated by a certain event and disposition. I'm happy because of this. I'm happy because of that. Joy is experienced no matter what the circumstance. But it's a gift from God. God wants us to experience joy. I mean, look back at the birth narrative in Luke chapter 2, verse number 9. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah of the Lord." This is the gift of God. Jesus came so that we would have joy. He didn't come that we would have disgust. If he came so that we would have disgust, can you understand that the song that we sing wouldn't be joy to the world? It would be disgust to the world. Everyone throw up or something. I don't know. that's not the song. It's joy to the world. The Lord has come. God wants us to experience joy. A disposition of joy demonstrates that we have a trust in God. A lot of people just don't understand. They don't understand why people of faith at funerals or times of mourning, that even though we cry and even though sometimes we demonstrate anger and you know, deep sadness and just misunderstandings, or fear, you know, what are we going to do without the loss of our loved one? People sometimes don't understand why we are still able to experience a sense of joy. It's because we have placed our faith and our trust in God, no matter what the circumstance. Luke chapter 6, verse number 22, Jesus speaking says, "Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and react your name as evil, reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man." Jesus says, be joyful. Or rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven, for that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. There's something that emanates from people of faith when we place our faith in joy, that even though we experience heartache and trouble and all these terrible things, we're still able to experience joy. But here's the tension, and this is what makes a good film a good film, that this movie, this animated film, isn't just about the life of joy. It's that even though there's joy, there's also the presence of sadness and anger and disgust and fear. And joy seems to view those other emotions as a threat. This is the crux of the film, Inside Out. Joy is in search of understanding, in which she has to come to grips with the other emotions, that they're not just present, they're just not co-residents, you know, in the brain, that they are valuable and that they have a function, and they all contribute to this thing called emotional health. Again, as I shared last week from Psalm 139, we have been fearfully and wonderfully made. And these emotions we have in our minds have been placed there by God for our benefit and our emotional health, good health. I alluded to the author Peter Scazzaro last week, who wrote a book called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. It is a great book, and you should read it. If you want to borrow my copy, give me a couple days, because I lost it. But you can borrow it when I find it. But in this book, he wrote this: "The journey of genuine transformation to emotionally healthy spirituality begins with a commitment to allow yourself to feel. It is an essential part of our humanity and unique personhood as men and women made in God's image. You see, church, to understand how we feel, to understand that we are emotional beings, is to understand our connection with our Creator. We were made in His image. And yes, we see throughout Scripture God experiencing every emotion, joy, sadness, anger, disgust, and in Jesus, fear. We'll look at some of these emotions in Jesus as we look at these other emotions as we journey through or the rest of these emotions, but you can't read the story of Jesus and not see him experiencing all five of those emotions. Read the Gospels. Y'all, he experienced great joy. He experienced great sadness too. Whew, he got angry. He was disgusted with some things. And there was a point where he was actually afraid, fearful. That's how we've been created as humans. We need to know this, that when we are sad and when we are angry and when we are disgusted and when we are afraid and maybe we're just at a place where, you know what, we just don't feel like being joyful. That doesn't mean that we're broken. That doesn't mean that, like, there's a screw loose. No. In fact, we need to be confident and know that whenever we feel joy, when we feel sad, when we feel angry or fearful or disgusted, that God has made a commitment to meet us there, to meet us where we're at, to meet us when we're sad. And one of the blessings that we have being in the body of Christ is that we're encouraged to meet people where they are. Sometimes it's not a good thing to meet mourning with joy. Sometimes people who mourn need a good laugh. But then there's sometimes that mourners, they need people to mourn with them. That there are times when people are angry about some things. They're angry about some situations that's going on in their life. It's not enough, you know, sometimes to just try to wash that away with some, hey, look on the bright side. Sometimes people need us to be angry alongside them. And that was ultimately demonstrated with Jesus, with God, who meets us where we're at. While there are a myriad of scripture references calling us to experience joy, we need to know that it's okay to experience other emotions than joy. Well, let's not lose sight of the role of joy in our lives. You see, in some circumstances, it is joy that rescues us out of deep despair and pain. Sometimes angry gets to a place where it grows unhealthy and we need something to rescue out of that. Sometimes we need joy to come in and say, you know what, let's think about this. So let's do this. I want to show you one more clip that demonstrates this, that, you know, whereas, you know, joy goes through this series of you know, being shaped and formed and understanding some different things throughout the film, that there are moments where we see joy shine like no other character in the film. So let's watch this clip.
We're supposed to live here?
We have.
I'm telling you, it smells like something died in here.
Can you die from moving?
Guys, you're overreacting. Nobody is dying.
A dead mouse!
Ah, great.
I'm gonna be sick.
The house of the dead. What are we gonna do?
We're gonna get rabies!
Get off of me!
Hey. All through the drive, Dad talked about how cool our new room is. Let's go check it out.
It's gonna be great. Yes. No.
I'm starting to envy the dead mouse.
Get out the rubber ball. We're in solitary confinement.
Riley can't live here.
He's right.
It's the worst.
Really bad.
It's absolutely the worst.
This house
stinks. It's the worst place I've ever been in my entire life.
Yeah.
Hey, it's nothing our butterfly curtains couldn't fix. I read somewhere that an empty room is an opportunity.
Where did you read that?
It doesn't matter. I read it, and it's great. We'll put the bed there and the desk over there.
Yeah, the hockey lamp goes there.
Put the chair there.
Well, the trophy collection.
Over there.
There. Stars!
We need more fun. I like that.
Now we're talking. Let's go get our stuff from the moving van.
All right. Goodbye. Well, guess what? The moving van won't be here until Thursday.
You're kidding.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the van is lost? That's the worst day ever.
The van is lost.
It's just going terrible.
You said it would be here yesterday.
And I know that's what I said. That's what they told me.
They're stressed out.
They're stressed out. What are we going to do?
What is their problem?
I've got a great idea.
Did you even read the contract?
Anderson makes her move. She's closing in.
Hey. Oh, no, you're
she's
not.
She's running for the shot.
Coming behind you. Watch
and
out.
She scores. Yeah.
You know, it was Wednesday night when we were here praying, where we were all in this room, and we're hurting. We're hurting because our friends, our brother and our sister, this little baby is struggling, and we were struggling to find the words to communicate. We were struggling with how to deal with this, and I think it was Sister Anita who just said, you know, she acknowledged that. You know, she acknowledged that we were hurt. She didn't ignore it. You know oftentimes we try to ignore our pain. That's not healthy. Don't ignore the pain. But what she did is she said, let's pull alongside our pain and let's reflect on the times that God came through and demonstrated his power. And alongside this painful situation we have right here, we also have with us some joy. I remember Judy last week sharing with me after we prayed for Beckham as a body. Remember last year, it was the Sturm's grandson that was in Children's Hospital and was unconscious. How many y'all remember that? He went to anaphylactic shock and was unconscious, and we spent time as a body praying. And it wasn't about, I don't know, 5 or 10 minutes after we prayed where Trina Briscoe gets a text and says, the child woke up and he asked for pancakes. Y'all remember that? It's not that we ignore the struggle that we in, but often joy will pull alongside memories or instances where God showed up and demonstrated his power and his love. And we're able to cope, and we're able to achieve at least a bit of relief or comfort when we're dealing with the chaos in our lives. It might be that joy is what helps us sustain us through deep periods of anxiety and concern. I gave you a yellow piece of paper. Would like to draw your attention to that right now. Again, what we want to do by the end of this series is to have a visual representation of what we've been talking about. And so what I'd like for you to do, on the table back there, there is a big plastic bowl. As you exit today, and you can do that now as we prepare to sing this invitation song. If you want to do it while we're singing, you're more than welcome to do that. I want you to consider this phrase. I experience joy, or it makes me feel joy when I experience blank. Your job is to fill in the blank. I experience joy. It makes me feel joy when I experience blank. You go ahead and fill that in. If you want to steal some of mine, it makes me feel joy when I experience bacon. If you want to put that, you go ahead and put that. And if you would kindly write that on that yellow card and then put it in the bowl in the back. Then there are three smaller bowls or two smaller bowls that has some yellow beads. And I want you to then take a bead as a reminder that part of your emotional makeup is that you have joy. Again, by the end of this series, you'll have a bead of each color. And we're going to do this each week. Next week, we'll look at sadness, and we'll write on blue cards. And when we get to fear, we'll write on purple cards. So if you would do that for me, put that in that plastic yellow bowl. And again, take a bead as a reminder. You can do whatever you want with that bead. When you get to the end, you make a nice bracelet with it if you like. As a church, we understand that part of being a family is that we experience joys together. It was cool watching the DeWitts come in with their newborn baby. Y'all adding a lot of family. They're looking to you know get a TV show. I don't know something. DeWitt plus 8 or something. But we experience that joy together as a family. And as we're singing this next song, if there's something that you want to share with the body, you know, it's something that you're just thankful to God for. You have some gratitude. It's something that's fueling your joy, and you want to share that with the body. By all means, you can share that. Or maybe again in the midst of this series and this topic today of joy, you're feeling sad about something, or you're feeling angry about something, or you're feeling fearful about something, or disgusted about something. As a body, we're prepared to receive that from you as well. If there's anything that we can pray for you for, we would love to do that for you. If you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, you want to make a public declaration of your faith in Jesus Christ, you want to participate in the ministry of baptism, we will also provide that ministry for you. So let's stand and let's sing.